We'll get this written up shortly. Hasn't been time since the PCC met on Monday, but when we did meet on Monday, we made some pretty big decisions, historical even, in more senses than one. Most expensive decision of the evening on Monday was that we had decided to proceed with the works recommended by the architect in his last inspection of the church, and that we are going to repair the tower, certain parts of the stonework of the church. This is going to cost about £100,000. Ouch. We have much of this money, but we spend it. We should have no money. Fair enough. So we've got to raise some money, and we'll be working on that in due course, and I'm sure we'll all help in whatever ways we possibly can. The work is due to begin on the 28th of March, and around about then, or shortly after, we will notice some scaffolding around the church. So, more details in due course, but that is an exciting and rather large project. What else did the PCC decide on Monday? Well, on a smaller scale, but no less significant in other ways, we have decided to update our hymn books. So at some point, the green ones will be replaced by blue ones, I think they are, aren't they? And instead of 500 or so hymns in there, we will have 800 or so hymns. So some of the books are getting a little bit tired anyway, so we thought it was time to replace them. And again, we've got the money for this, and I think that will be a refreshing little detail to what we're doing here. Now, out of sight, but not out of mind, we will be replacing our printer. Now, we're not talking about a little desktop thing that you may have at home. We've got a proper printer down at the church room, which serves us very well mostly, but is coming towards the end of its life and effective repairability. So we're going to get a new one, which over the long run should pay for itself, because it'll be cheaper to run. And I suppose the quality will be a slight improvement as well. So that will serve some of our purposes as people who want to communicate things. Another thing we decided, which doesn't cost too much money, a tiny bit for some training. Some of you may know a member of our congregation, Christine Acock. If you don't know her, it's because you don't go to the 8 o'clock service, and Christine does. But now, many years ago, Christine trained and was licensed as a licensed lay minister, a reader, in a parish elsewhere, and for various reasons, due to career and family, when she moved to Sen, she preferred not to transfer that particular skill to serving this parish church. But now she can. She's in a position to do that, so she's going to do a little bit of refreshing training, and in June, the intention is that she will be licensed as a reader to this church, and the PCC have given their approval for that. And one of the first things that Christine will be involved with, and perhaps she's already recruited your assistance in this, because of her social work background, she's got some expertise, and she's going to try and set up a sort of drop-in group for people who have certain mental health vulnerabilities, shall we say. And we're going to run a course perhaps called Hope in Depression. And I think this will meet a very significant need in our community. And I hope that we can do it in a way that people will be able to access the support we're offering. So that's an exciting thing that's going to happen, which has been authorised by the PCC. If you are a user of our church rooms, maybe you too have despaired at the condition and the weight of our chairs. But I bring you good news of new chairs which are lighter and apparently more comfortable. Have they arrived yet?
Yes.
They've arrived. So there you are. So next time we go to the church rooms, new chairs. Fabulous. So we're trying to improve our facilities. And not only that, if you've thrilled in the church room to the sound of the heating, which is a bit like, you know, the fans here, only 10 times worse. Well, we're getting rid of all that. We're going electric. So we'll get rid of the noisy gas heaters, and we've got some nice up-to-date electric heaters that will be installed in due course. We have a timing on that?
April.
There we are, just when we need it. So we won't need to turn them on much in the summer. So look, there's some exciting things that are happening. You know, we come along here, maybe we don't always realise everything that's going on, and that isn't everything that's going on, but there's a few things that we've now decided we're going to do and change and improve as a church. Now, we'll try and get this written up in some sensible form that we can share it around and tell everybody. Now, of course, this is also alongside and mixed up in trying to pay our way as a parish. We all know something about that, don't we? That we've got to find more money to pay for our running expenses and to pay the parish share. So it's, and there's a lot going on, and it's a big commitment, I know, for all of us. And perhaps it's even more scary than the coronavirus to have to face up to these things. And I was thinking, well, why? Why are we doing all these things? Why are we bothering with it? Well, I think the answer is to serve people, especially our community, this parish, and each community that we represent, because we don't all live in Send, and it's lovely that we have a range of communities represented in our congregation. I think that's a great strength of what we can offer one another and to this geographical parish that we're in. And the reason we're doing anything as a church is to serve people, I believe. How? Well, with the love that we have for God, that's first and foremost, but also to serve people with love in the name of Christ Jesus, and to draw together as many people as possible towards what we talk about as the light and life of God and of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. I think that in essence is what we're about. That's a kind of top line description of why we bother doing anything as a church. And I believe that, like that character Nicodemus, there are many people moving around by night, metaphorically, to seek and find answers for their lives. Now, to whom will they go? Is there anything enlightening, interesting, attractive, or useful about us as a Christian community to which people will be looking for their answers? Well, I very much hope so, because that too is part of what we're about. As disciples of Jesus, the light of the world, we behold his grace and truth, and we declare it in our faith and in our deeds. And as we do so, we hope and we trust that, like Nicodemus, people will at least suspect the presence of Christ is embodied in some way in the gathered community of faith, that we are genuinely empowered in various ways by the Spirit of Christ Jesus in our hearts and in our hands, that we are in some sense from God, and that no one can do the things we do as a church apart from the presence of God. That was Nicodemus's observation of Jesus. That was what attracted him to go by night to have a chat with him, because he thought there was something of God about him. there needs to be something of God about us that people can see and be curious about, at least. So why are we bothering with all these things that I mentioned? Well, I'll tell you this, from my point of view, we're not repairing the church to cement our crumbling position as a heritage centre or as some kind of attraction that's part of the spiritual wing of the National Trust. We are living stones, dwelling in Christ, dwelling in faith, prayer, hope, worship, fellowship, devotedly proclaiming the teachings of Jesus, as Jesus did to Nicodemus. Let no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. So, we'll sing new hymns with our new hymn books in due course, and worship afresh. We'll print lots of new papers with interesting messages on, inviting involvement, inviting thought. We'll embrace the sad and the vulnerable in our community and support one another as best we can with the love and hope of Christ. We'll sit with one another on comfortable chairs, welcoming friends and strangers into our conversations, where we'll talk and listen and learn from one another. We'll offer hospitality in our church and in our church rooms, places that are warm enough, comfortable enough, and in due course, if we keep up with the Church of England's plans, carbon neutral by 2030. Goodness knows how we're going to do that. And we do all of this to bring heavenly things into our earthly things. And all of this so that we can know and share that great and famous verse from John chapter 3, verse 16, which we've heard read this morning. We do it all because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. We're not offering people a comfy place on a cruise ship. We're offering a lifeboat in which we can share a sense of new life and hope and light to those who walk in darkness and who are looking for answers. And we do it in a way that calls people into fellowship with love and not with condemnation or judgment. We want to be inclusive and welcoming, embracing, warm. Because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Everything we are doing as a church is to support our salvation, to support us being saved by the love of Christ, and to call others into the lifeboat. May God bless us with faith, generosity, and hope as we work together to tackle these big challenges. I don't underestimate how hard it's going to be. But if we keep our eyes on the light, we will find a way. Amen.